Hey, UNLV fans, this is another edition of the Rebel Room, the Las Vegas Suns UNLV sports podcast. And I'm Ray Brewer, the Suns managing editor, alongside with Mike Grimala, who covers UNLV sports, along with some other things for us. And a lot to talk about. Mountain West Media Day just concluded this week. Mike was there, and UNLV football fans, brace for it. They are predicting a 2-win or less season. UNLV with the least amount of votes in the Mountain West. I don't want to scare anybody, but Reno picked to win the division. Ah, I can't take it, Michael. I can't take it.
Yeah, not only picked to win the division, they've also, some people project them to have the number one pick in the NFL draft. They're projected to maybe go, you know, undefeated or have a great season. You know, they're it's a bad time for UNLV football to be projected to win one game this year.
I don't want to turn this into Wolfpack talk, but maybe that's a good thing to get the coach out to another job.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like that's a win for UNLV, but I guess the good news is that the coach and the players are excited. Like, this is the spring training time period for football where it's like everything's great. All the position battles are shaping up great. Everybody's optimistic. They're sure that they're going to blow away these expectations and everyone's going to be wrong about them and they're going to be good. So there seems to be a pretty positive tone among the players and the coach at media day. But what else do you expect?
Yeah. Hope springs eternal. And listen, UNLV went 0-6 last year in the COVID-impacted season, and we didn't learn much about them. Had a new first-year coach who's now a second-year coach who feels like a first-year coach, and, you know, we still don't know how his offense is going to look and feel. We saw some glimpses of what he wants to do last year with some of those dink-and-dump screen passes, but probably not the personnel at wideout, maybe even quarterback that he envisions running that. And then, of course, the defense was a work in progress. So I'm confident, Michael, when I say they'll be improved, right? They can't get worse, right?
Well, the specific area that you just touched on, which was one of the more interesting things I thought came out of Marcus Arroyo's media session, was that he said, you know, we wanted to do things last year in our offense, you know, the offense that he wants to run, they couldn't really run that in full because of the limitations at quarterback. He said the offense that you'll see this year will have a lot more of his stuff in it. He said last year they kind of had to adapt to the skill set that they were working with, which is, you know, they didn't have many good players on offense. He seems to think that they have more talent and that the players they have now are better equipped to run the offense the way he wants to run it. So maybe that means fewer screen passes. Maybe that's less dinking and dunking, or, you know, maybe it will look somewhat different based on who he has at quarterback this year. I personally, I'm a little skeptical of that. I want to see it before I believe it. But maybe speaking to that issue you just brought up, maybe the offense does look vastly different this year.
Yeah. And I will say this, the Mountain West is not the SEC. The Mountain West is not even the Pac-12. The Mountain West is a league where you could be San Jose State, where you could be a team projected to finish near the bottom of the standings. You could get hot and you could pick off some opponents and you could win some games. And if you look at the division UNLV's in, it's the Pacific Division of the Mountain West. There's some winnable games there, right? Utah State, first-time head coach, right? San Jose State, are they as good as last year? Okay, do they have a great quarterback? Oh, okay, are they that much better than UNLV? I'm not sure, right? Fresno State, not the Fresno State that you love. You know, there's spots in that schedule at New Mexico. Okay, if I got to go on the road in the Mountain West, sign me up for at New Mexico. You know, altitude's not as bad as going to Colorado. Team's not as good. Can't throw the ball. So there's places in there where they could easily pick up some wins get over the 1.5 plateau that Las Vegas sportsbooks have established. Can they get to 6 and get to a bowl game? I don't know. You're talking to a guy who put $2 on the Pittsburgh Pirates to win the Central because I'm an optimist. And people know I got some appreciation for UNLV, and I just can't find them. I can't find 6 wins for these guys.
I look at the defense, and I don't see a defense that's going to help you win 6 games. I don't see a defense that's probably going to help you win 4 games. If they win 3 games, you're doubling your win total for the season. Like, that would be greatly outperforming your expectations if they were to win 3 games. But I look at that defense, and I don't see a whole lot to get excited about.
And that's before injuries.
That's before the attrition begins. That's with them taking their best defender from last year, Jacoby Windman, and moving him to a new position. The offense, maybe Arroyo can coach them into something. Defense, I don't see it.
So I do think, though, Mike, we're taking kind of a short-sighted view here at UNLV football. Let's look long-term, right? This is the first year of being in the stadium full-time, right? So now, you know, you've had a chance to recruit to the Fertitta football complex, right? The $25 million or so athletic training center on campus. And according to the rankings, top 3 Mountain West, both recruiting classes under the new staff. Now you get to recruit to the stadium as well, and the recruits could see how it looks and feels on a game day, right? And for me, if I'm UNLV, I just don't want to be that 0-6 team that looked awful, where, you know, put up the tape of the Reno game and Reno's getting 10 yards a play. Some plays, you're like, should we maybe get somebody in a red jersey over on the right side of the field? Literally, not an exaggeration. So if you're not that, if you're competitive in every game, if you're better every day, this is crazy. Because, you know, sometimes I coach my kids in peewee soccer, right, Mike?
I did know that.
So, you know, kindergarten, first grade, you get them together. And what do you tell them after the game? Did you get better today? Right? I think that's where UNLV has to be. Forget about the scoreboard. And I hate to say this. Just don't screw up what you got. And what you've got is a great stadium, a great facility, a great city to recruit to, and a darn good university. Don't screw those 4 things up with 0-6 and an ugly 0-6. Be competitive. Show that, you know, your signs are there, right? Find a few guys that you could say, okay, this kid in a year is going to be our guy. Or, oh, my gosh, did you see this kid perform? And maybe – that's how I think you're going to have a successful season.
Well, the one thing that, if you're Marcus Arroyo, you can hang your hat on is the recruiting rankings. Not so much the recruiting performance, because we haven't seen much of it yet, but he's brought in classes that have been highly ranked in the league. So that's like what you can hang your hat on. If you keep recruiting at the top of the league, eventually it should start to pay off. But it's only been a year and a half. Last year was not quite a real season. You're still counting on those freshmen and sophomores who didn't really even have a spring or a true training camp last year. Are you going to see the fruits of those recruiting classes yet? I probably not, but you're seeing some stuff to get excited. Kyle Williams was really good last year.
You're still going to have to coach them up. I mean, just because they come in ranked highly doesn't mean anything until they get here and they develop and you see the finished product on the field. But
yeah, so I do agree with you that the most important thing is recruiting. Keep your eye on the ball, like keep recruiting, keep bringing in those big classes. This year on the field maybe doesn't matter so much. Like, his job is not in jeopardy. He's going to get at least another year after this, no matter what happens. So like that's take recruiting is the main thing right now. So It sounds like I'm not dismissing them before the season begins, but I don't know. It's when you're saying that recruiting is more important than the 12 games you're about to play, I think that kind of tells you where the program is right now.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. You know, grew up going to games at Sam Boyd Stadium, and, you know, every September you would get decent crowds, right? You'd get a team from a Power 5 conference that would come in, and it'd be a great crowd, whether it was Wisconsin or Oregon State or Iowa State, who's coming this year, who UNLV beat with a great Philip Payne touchdown reception in the corner of the end zone when Mike Sanford was the coach at home on the last play. And you're going to get butts in the seats in September to watch UNLV football. And that's even true this year with the new stadium, because a lot of people just can't afford to go to a Raiders game or a Garth Brooks concert or one of those discotheque electric crazy things, right? But they could afford $10 and bring a can of beans to get in to watch the Rebels. So I think there's going to be a decent little turnout for some of these home games, Eastern Washington, Iowa State, just to see the new build. I really do. But when the calendar flips over to the last part of that season, is the crowd going to be like that? You know, and I think a lot has to go with the with the product on the field. And Mike, you've watched sports your whole life. I've watched sports my whole life. Attrition is a big, big thing, right? Your lineup on day one versus your lineup on day 12 is going to be vastly different. People get hurt. People get beat out. Kids are playing what positions they're not supposed to be. You know, I still remember a few years ago, they dressed like one tight end or two tight ends for the final game of the season. And, you know, you've seen where quarterbacks have to play defensive back or wide receiver, and crazy things happen at the end of the season. And when you have a team that's unproven like UNLV, who knows what could happen? And that's when you got a – right? You just look at the one – the most important position in football is quarterback. And look at their situation. They've got like 20 total Division I throws out of all their quarterbacks. Say two or three of those guys go down. Now where are you at? You know what I'm saying?
I do. I know what you're saying. It's the help. It's not a team, like we said, they're still building their roster. They're only two cycles in. You would ideally want to give a coach 4 years to build to fill the team with his players. They're only halfway there. It's not a complete roster. It's not a complete team. He still hasn't brought in a quarterback, I think, that he likes. It's two guys from last year and a true freshman. That's the three quarterbacks that are competing. You're not excited about the two guys that are holdovers. And the freshman hasn't taken the job yet. So it's now,
I will play devil's advocate here with you, Michael. The Rodgers kid from TCU, supposedly we're told healthy for the first time in his career.
Sure.
Top 40 high school recruit when he went to TCU. That guy, if healthy, don't know if he could play or not because he's never been healthy. You know, and when you got a flat tire, it's tough to get air in it to get back on the expressway. But could that guy, and this is just an awful comparison, so don't yell at me. You're really good. Kiefer yells at me a lot. You listen to my bull crap, right?
Yes.
Could this Rodgers kid, if he's the guy, and I think eventually all three of them are going to get in the game because of injuries, could he have an impact similar to the guy at San Jose State who went to Arkansas, Texas A&M, and all of a sudden led San Jose State to a ring game?
If you're asking my professional opinion, I can tell you that Arroyo seems to think he's healthy and playing well and is competing for that starting job and is neck and neck. Like, that's what I've gathered professionally. If you're asking for my personal opinion, just based on what I saw last year on the field, I would say no.
But he was injured, Mike. Have you ever read a story with the headache?
He was playing. He was healthy enough to be playing last year, and he did not look good. He did not look like a quarterback that I would want to be taking snaps for my Division I team if I were a fan. But that was a year ago. You throw in all the excuses, short year, no coaching, very little on-field preparation, like all that could be a factor. But the thing is, like, you have to do a lot of projecting and what if and speculate. He didn't give you any of that to build on. You have to add all that to the conversation. Same thing with Doug Brumfield. Like, he didn't give you much to get excited about. You have to get yourself excited about him by projecting all of this into it.
I liked Brumfield. I thought that he should have got more run.
I thought he looked way better this spring in the very, very limited amount of time we got to see him play in the spring. I thought he looked much better in the spring than he did last fall in the games, which makes a ton of sense. Being a true freshman thrust into games last year during COVID to now playing in spring and getting reps and stuff. I thought he looked way better.
All right. Let's take a quick run through the schedule, make some predictions and see what our consensus record will be. And I'm actually getting out a piece of paper because counting to 12 is not my strength. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So the opener's a Thursday night, September 2nd at the stadium against Eastern Washington. And I'll give you a note. Eastern Washington played in that Big Sky spring season. I don't know if that's a benefit or not, but they got competition in games. And they're an above average team for the second level. UNLV has lost to Howard, Southern Utah, and NAU at home. They crushed Idaho State and Jackson State. What's your take on this one?
Is there a line on this game yet?
If Case was here, we could ask him. I'm not sure, brother. I would make it, if I'm guessing, UNLV 6.5.
If it was my money, I would not bet on UNLV to win outright. But I do think that they should win that game. That's one win.
Okay.
Do you agree with that? How confident are you in UNLV winning that game?
I mean,
Now keep in mind, they're probably not going to name a starting quarterback just based on, you know, what we know about Arroyo and how he likes to run his thing. They're probably not going to name a starting quarterback until the week of, maybe like the day of. Like, it's going to be this – it's going to be hovering over the team, and they're going to go into that game sort of not knowing who the quarterback is until it's time to take the field.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just did a quick Google search, and – some website, gambling website, predicts the final score to be 17.3 to 16.4 in favor of Eastern Washington.
Nail biter.
Yeah. So I would say that's a coin flip, but I'm a UNLV grad, so I'm going to give them a dub in the game.
That's also the one game you can expect a pretty big home field advantage, I would guess, for UNLV, because they'll be playing at Allegiant for the first time with full fans. I assume it's going to be at full capacity. Mm-hmm. And people are going to want to see that stadium. So I'm assuming you might have some sort of home field advantage. So
I love that. I had that same theory in a Cal upset when they were supposed to open against Cal.
So if you liked them against Cal last year when they were the worst team in the country, you have to like them this year against Eastern Washington when they're
when they agreed to the game before, when Sanchez was still coach. So
I'm gonna give them that win. I'm gonna start them in the season 1-0.
Okay, so then they go September 11th, a week and 2 days later, at ASU. Of course, we all remember the last time UNLV went to ASU. Sun Devils ranked like 15th nationally. UNLV with a win at the buzzer. Philip Payne, two mentions on the podcast today. Just a sick one-handed catch. One of the great nights in UNLV football. Do you see it happening again, Michael?
I do not. I think I'm gonna chalk that one up as a loss here.
Okay, I don't disagree with you. We're not fun today, but even though Arizona State's in the middle of the pack to the back of the pack in the Pac-12, the talent level is just off the charts. So there's a loss. Next game, 7 days later, September 18th, big, big weekend in Vegas. Iowa State comes to town, and they're going to bring the entire city of Ames. This is going to really account for a lot of the season ticket sales. Folks are fired up to get here to watch Iowa State, which some people have sneaking into the Final Four nationally, threatening Oklahoma and the Big 12. Iowa State should roll. I give UNLV a loss.
I concur.
Okay. Sorry to steal your thunder there, Michael.
Yeah, that's, you said it all.
All right. 6 days later, Mountain West opener at Fresno, which, as I've said before, is the armpit of California. I don't know if I'd rather get stuck in Fresno or Reno, but at Fresno, Mountain West opener, 6 days after getting beat up by Iowa State. Your thoughts, Michael?
I think Fresno State is going to be a favorite in that game. I think I would not give UNLV probably any road game on the schedule. I think Fresno State is probably going to win that one.
I do too. At one point, UNLV went into Fresno as like a 16-point dog and won straight up. Don't see it happening this year, although I'd like to think that Charles Williams, the sixth-year UNLV tailback, who every time he touches the ball this year is going to move up some record chart in program history, Fresno native, he could go off. I don't know if it makes a difference.
That is a good point that I didn't think of. You could get a Charles Williams sort of revenge game. But then again, he's had five revenge games at this point in his career. You know, this is his sixth year at UNLV. So how many times can he go to that emotional well of, you know, Fresno State didn't recruit me, the hometown kid? Like, I got to imagine most of that anger has dissipated by now. But then again, you know, some people carry that around. Some athletes carry that around forever. So I still don't think it's going to be enough.
Okay. I don't disagree. Okay. Now we're into October. It's getting a little cooler out. Thank God. Little weekend trip, October 2nd, to play UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio, in San Antonio. Not much history between the programs, and UTSA, one of the better non-Power 5 schools this year, according to some of these magazines I've been thumbing through. Rebels on the road. I hate a non-league game after league season's already started. This is one that they are not, that I would still think they could be competitive in, but I still, I'm going to give them an L. What do you think, bud?
Loss. I think that's right about the time. What are they at this point? They are like 1-4.
Going into the game.
Yeah.
Best case scenario.
1-3. They lose that one at San Antonio. You're 1-4. You've lost four in a row. At this point in the season, first of all, you better win that Eastern Washington game, or else you're 0-6 last year, 0-5 to start this year. You know, you've got three quarterbacks that you're probably, if you're 1-4, you are cycling through those guys, probably series to series at that point, trying to find anything. And that's when your season can really start to just spiral out of control, which last year they avoided only because it was cut in half. That team was like, if that season went on for another six games last year, it would have gotten to an unimaginably bad level based on what they were going through. And I don't want to pile on the negativity, but I could see something like that happening this year in the first half of the season, but with six additional games left. So you got to win Eastern Washington and then at least try to be competitive in one of these other games in the first half of the schedule.
Yeah. But if they somehow still win at Fresno in the league opener, because remember, league opener, everybody's 0-0, right? You think you're going to win the league. Then this game is such an awful spot, because who really cares if you win or lose that? Your focus is the October 16th game at home against Utah State, who's got a new coach and who could be considered on UNLV's level. this is one of those games that UNLV could win. And even though they've had zero success against Utah State, Michael, I'm giving them a dub in this game. Go Rebels.
You know what? I'm looking at this game, and I don't want to get ahead of the schedule. I see Utah State at home. I see New Mexico on the road. You got to get one of those two. Like, that's your – like, you've got to get one of those two games. What's your rationale for this, giving them this Utah State game at home?
So, like, I think that as the season progresses, that if they stay healthy and if they could not just totally get blown out of the water against some of these big name opponents, that they might have some confidence going into the Utah State game. And this is right around when going to a bowl would still be realistic if you go, you know, 5-1 to close out. And I could see the push where they get a maximum effort on this Saturday afternoon and they get the win. So improved play and one last push to get to a bowl. I think UNLV steals one here.
Okay. I could see, like I said, I get this game, and then, you know, in the second half, they've got a few weeks later at New Mexico. I would like their chances, I think, better at home against Utah State just because it's earlier in the season. I thought last year they got worse as the season went on. I thought they were right up at the point of falling apart when the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say earlier, UNLV may have a better chance than later in the season. You give them the Utah State game. I won't give them the Utah State game.
Okay. So halfway through, I've got them 2-4. You've got them 1-5.
1-5.
I'm a little more generous based on my homerism title. And you're a little more realistic based on you make predictions with your two eyes, not with your heart. 7 days later, back at home, 7:30 kick, the defending league champion Spartans come into town. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a big name on the front of the jersey guy, and San Jose State, I look at their crappy facilities and crappy stadium, and I can't imagine how they would just absolutely destroy UNLV, but their quarterback is Joe Montana, and they won the league last year, and UNLV didn't win a game last year. There's no way you could pick the Rebels in this game.
No. I think San Jose State, the spread is going to be pretty sizable in that one. I don't think UNLV will put up much of a fight, even at home.
All right. Nevada Day weekend in Reno. Rebels Fremont Cannon game against the Wolfpack. Michael, did I tell you how disappointed I was last year in that I felt the program didn't put enough stock into this game? Like, for me, this is like the game, right? And I just didn't think enough people cared about what happened in that game. But UNR absolutely destroyed UNLV, and I don't see it, you know, any different this year, unfortunately, except it's going to be cold out at 7 at night, the Friday before Halloween in America's worst city, Wolfpack roll. And for whatever it's worth, what's the name of the coach from the – Jay Norvell?
Norvell.
I love that guy, man. He's nothing but a classy guy, and it's, you know, and I'll be honest. Listen, I didn't like the coach before him. I thought that guy was living off his dad's name a little bit. But I thought Norville's just a classy guy. And, you know, I'd be glad when he gets the Michigan job or wherever he's going after this. So, you know, UNR without a budget could hire some bum and UNLV could get the cannon back. But it ain't happening this year, brother.
UNLV has not been bad on – they don't have a bad history on the road at Reno in this series recently. Sanchez was unbeatable in Reno.
Bobby won there too. Again, you know, after the Kaepernick years and the series got a little more even, I just don't know if this game's a high priority for the program right now. And that's fine. Some people love to beat Reno. Some people, it's not as important. It is what it is.
I mean, last time they went up to Reno, they had Kenyon Oblad, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interception, game-winning touchdown in overtime. And then they ran him out of the program. But maybe something like that happens again. They got another true freshman that they like. Maybe that's the Cameron Friel game. Maybe that's when he takes over going into this Reno game in the second half of the year.
Yeah, I mean, for me, rivalry games are always close. So I would think this one could be close as well. But it's just awful because this game always means more, regardless of the situations of the programs or who's coaching each individual program. It always means more for people in Reno, right? And for the Reno team. And, at this juncture of the season, UNLV could be a badly wounded team and Reno could deliver the final knockout blow, right?
It could. Okay.
So, and listen, I'm not talking, I just want to be crystal clear to all the fans out there. I'm not running my mouth about the head coach. I have no opinions negative of him right now. I wish he would recruit more locals or have better success recruiting locals. But the fact is that game against Reno wasn't as important last year as it needed to be. Part of that could have been the pandemic. Part of that could have been a new staff unfamiliar with the history of the game. My opinion, I'm allowed to have an opinion. It doesn't mean that I think that Marcus is a bad coach or doing a bad job. I just thought that they didn't, care enough about that game.
It was also the first game, the first home game for them in the rejiggered schedule at Allegiant Stadium. So it kind of also took a backseat. It takes a backseat to it becomes more about, oh, this is our first game at Allegiant.
Yeah.
Not so much about the opponent.
Absolutely. Would I love for this year for them to make that week like Super Bowl week? Because at that juncture of the season, they might not have much to play for. Absolutely. This is a great chance this year to really enhance that rivalry, in my opinion. So, all right. So after the Reno game, they're back on the road to Albuquerque for New Mexico. Michael, this is the winnable game. Your thoughts?
You go to Reno on Friday, the week before.
Correct.
I think Cameron Friel, you asked me 6 months or 3 months in advance. I say Cameron Friel takes over. He's your true freshman at quarterback. Second half of the season, they lose at Reno. Maybe it's close. Maybe it's sort of a gutty performance, what have you. Long week going on the road again to Albuquerque on Saturday. You got an extra day in there, a little more time to practice. Freshman gets a little more comfortable in the offense. You can maybe kitchen sink it a little bit at New Mexico, thinking if we're going to win another game, this is our best opportunity. Maybe Marcus Rivera's got a little something up his sleeves. Maybe they put in a couple packages for the new quarterback. I think they can win that game. I'm going to give it to them.
I'm going to take a vastly different approach. I think that in this game, they're shell-shocked from what happened in Reno. They see 4 more weeks left on the schedule, and they lay a complete egg in New Mexico. Give me the Lobos.
That's a valid point. This is a team that – they played 6 games last year. Mm-hmm. So to ask them to play 12 this year, you're doubling, that's a lot. That's like asking a reliever to stretch out his arm, in the big leagues, maybe they hit the wall at some point, especially if you're 1-6 or 1-7 and you're getting blown out every week. I like my narrative that by this point in the season, you don't like your veteran quarterbacks. You've turned it over to the freshmen. He gives you that one glimmer of hope. He's going to win you one game at Albuquerque. And that's going to be like your big moment for the second half of the year.
All right. Next week, November 13th, Hawaii comes to the Ninth Island. There'll probably be more Hawaii fans and UNLV fans that day at Allegiant. This game, they play for that pineapple, which is always fun. And the game's usually closely contested. You know, I remember Nolan Cohorst with a game-winning field goal. I remember a few collapses with Sanchez at Hawaii. I do think this game's going to be close, and I could see where they steal a victory, but I'm going to give the close win to the Rainbows.
Yeah, these games are usually entertaining. I think Hawaii will just handle them. I think Hawaii will come in and handle their business. That game last year was not so competitive, sort of breaking from tradition. And at this point, I'll give them an extra week as opposed to you and your timeline. This is when they start to realize how far away the finish line is. And this is when they start to think like, hey, we haven't really had, this has been a long 2 seasons for us. Let's get this season over with. Let's go home. Let's take a break. I think they start to really wear down these mm-hmm. final three games. I don't think they're going to finish strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The way this is unfolding, the way that you and I are laying it out.
Yeah, and hopefully we're wrong, because I'd love to, you know, cover a bowl game or cover a meaningful game during turkey season.
Dude, hey, there is nothing as a reporter that you is more fun to cover than a team going on having a magical season, like an unexpected things just coming together. You're winning close games.
The Have team you ever done mood. That before in your
no.
career?
Okay, no. I'm not speaking from experience. No, I've covered UNLV for the last 10 years. I haven't had any magical seasons, but it seems like it would be a lot of fun to cover.
Exactly. Exactly. So
I do hope it happens.
Yes. Next, San Diego State at home. The Aztecs aren't the Donnell Pumphrey Aztecs that you know and love, but they're still a notch better than UNLV, and they should be around this time in their schedule looking to become bowl eligible. I'll take SDSU.
Yeah, I don't expect that to be much of a contest. San Diego State is going to beat them.
Right.
They were, what, third in the preseason poll? Like, that's a team that's going to have real ambition towards the end. Like you said, trying to become bowl eligible, jockeying for position in the league. Like, that'll be a big game for them. They'll win.
All right. The day after Thanksgiving, 12:30 start. At least you'll get the sun because you'll be up at the Academy Air Force.
That's a day game the day after Thanksgiving. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. You're putting me on a plane on Thanksgiving Day to go.
We'll probably cover that one remotely.
Okay.
I don't want to have to tackle the triple thread spread threat in that cold weather. And you know, I've seen crazier things. I saw the, you know, Jason Thomas, or no, who was the quarterback? Mark Wallington would know, but UNLV late in the season went up to Colorado State. Colorado State was ranked 11th and they upset him. And it's driving me nuts because I can't remember who the quarterback was for UNLV.
Well, the point, if we're projecting this far out, and we're already constructing narratives. I've got them at 2-9 at this point. You've got them, I believe, also at 2-9. Is there a worse team? Is there a worse team to play? Like, is there a worse way to finish up your season than on the road against a triple option team? Like, you're not going to want to play that game if you're a UNLV player. Like, that is the worst game to have as your closeout on a lost season.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you this. 2002 – UNLV 36, Colorado State 33, last game of the year. Colorado State was ranked, they were ranked 13th.
UNLV's two best players.
Kurt Nackis took it to the house.
UNLV's two best players, Jacoby Windman and Kyle Williams, were probably not born when that game was played.
Okay. So as we wrap up here, I still think folks are slightly curious about the quarterback position, but the three gentlemen on the roster, Rogers, Brumfield, and Creel, are the three guys, or is there still a chance at the last minute they could get somebody to come in?
Arroyo said those are the guys. He said he's not bringing in another quarterback. He says they don't have a roster spot. They don't have a scholarship for another player. He said everyone that's on the team is on the team. It's going to be these three guys. I like Brumfield a little more than the others, but as a quarterback for the entire season, I don't think that's going to happen. I think you'll see all three of them get their shot, and I think they'll turn it over to the freshman probably at some point in the second half. But yeah, he said these are the guys. So no Tate Martell, no, you know, quarterback, disgruntled quarterback who loses a job in training camp at another school, looking to jump in. He said that's not going to happen.
So the one spring practice I did go to at the end when we were let onto the field, I really loved the leadership of Justin Rogers out there, you know, encouraging his teammates. He looked to be a leader. And if healthy, I just think that if this kid gets a chance, maybe we're sleeping on him and maybe he has a breakthrough year where some of these coin flip games, and I guess Eastern Washington, Utah State, New Mexico, maybe Hawaii are coin flip games. Maybe it lands on UNLV heads than UNLV tails. You know what I'm saying?
You think Justin Rogers, if he's got the intangibles, his leadership, he's got the coin flip luck on his side, like, you think he's the most likely to fit the description of that magical season that we all want?
I just think that he's got the best chance to be Caleb Herring, right? Herring finally got a shot, and he went in, and he led UNLV. He basically got Bobby Houck another $600,000 out of UNLV, right? Bobby should send that kid royalties every month because UNLV got hot. And, you know, it was so bad that they weren't even recruiting because they thought they were going to lose their job. They throw in the backup quarterback. He slings it around, and next thing you know, they're at the Heart of Texas Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
That was kind of a magical season, right? Would that qualify? Backup quarterback, sprinkling the magic dust over the entire team.
Yeah, and I mean, when you consider UNLV's been to, you know, less than five bowl games all time, you know, any chance you get six wins, you got a chance to go into the school hall of fame. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you just, you know, there's some years when you could, and we talked about this in the newsroom, right? Every year I write a column, here's how UNLV is going to get bowl eligible. You know, hey, they're going to win eight games and here's how. And even though I don't say that right now, it's not like he's got a team that needs directions to find the end zone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's chances to where, you know, Charles Williams becomes the offensive player of the year. You know, the quarterback pops. Kyle Williams is still the guy at wide receiver, right? The defense isn't so bad to where, you know, they give up a touchdown on every possession. It's not like they're predicted to win one game and – there's no way they can't win four games. You know, it's not like Bobby's first year when they were going to TCU and Utah and West Virginia. You know, you take out the Iowa State game and arguably the Arizona State game, and you've got 10 chances. Boise's not on the schedule. You got 10 chances to potentially win a game, arguably.
I will say that. One thing that if you're talking about UNLV is going to have to win these coin flip games and these close games, they're going to have to like pull them out at the end. This is a team that has no experience doing that. This is a team that last year was not competitive. They lost six games. They lost them all by two touchdowns or more. None of these games were close. They weren't competitive. This is a team that doesn't have any experience winning or even playing in close games in the fourth quarter. So
yeah,
that's one thing I would say, like, that sort of portends them not winning those close games this year. But
yeah, I mean, again, last year they literally just had to throw out 22 guys and let them play. You know, they had a lot of, you know, the COVID season didn't treat them well. I mean, and not to play devil's advocate, but I'm scrolling through this roster here and you know, they got some guys that have played some ball for him. You know, Julio Garcia, right? Been on the offensive line, you know, forever. Pharrell Hester, linebacker, has played a lot of plays, man. You know what I'm saying?
They were raving about
Giovanni Follow. He's played a lot of ball, brother.
Connor Murphy, that transfer from USC, who's their big defensive end. They were raving about, all the coaches were raving about him in spring practice. They got some guys that,
you know, they loved Aaron Lewis last year. He was every press conference, right?
They'll be more credible. I think they will be a more credible team than they were last year. Like last year, they were not a credible team. It was not a Division I caliber football team. Everything they did was sub Division I level.
Yeah.
I think they'll be better this year.
Like they were putting out guys and we're like literally looking at the flip chart saying, okay, who's this guy and where did he come from? You know, and we're trying to figure out, Ty Lee Collins is still in the program, Gramala.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy who, when he came in, we thought, UNLV, answer me this. When was the last, this could be a good trivia question, and if any of our listeners answer it, maybe we give them a prize of some time. I'll have to go over to sales and get something. When was the last time UNLV returned a kick for a touchdown? Punt or a kick?
It's a long time. It's a long, long time. 20, 30 years? I don't even know.
No, I think it was against Colorado State at home. Maybe one of Tony's first years. Nah, it wasn't during Tony's year. It might have been Bobby. I think it was against Colorado State at home. But I got to figure it out. But when Collins came in, he was like that speed demon, and he was going to be the guy that was going to get them great field position, and he was going to return kicks for touchdowns.
Yeah.
Hasn't done it quite yet, but maybe this is the year. You know what I'm saying?
He seems like a guy. Collins was fast as a freshman, and then he seemed to get slower with each subsequent season. Like, he seemed to get slower as his career went on. So maybe he's one of those guys that peaked very, very early in terms of, like, speed and athleticism.
Yeah.
But he's – I think he's working his way back onto the roster still. What was I going to say? Oh, last year, you know, they – we talk about they weren't a credible team. Like, I don't want to single out players, but, you know, Vic Viramontes, they had him at that middle linebacker, and he's not playing even up to UNLV's level. Like, just couldn't tackle him. Like, it was a bad, you know, spot for them. They were getting nothing out of that linebacker position. I look at the depth chart that they sent out for spring after spring football. He's not on it. Which leads you to believe like they feel like they've got six guys better than him now, which is a good sign for the program. Like if you take a player like that from last year and they were just walking back into their starting spot this year, I'd say that's a huge problem. Mm-hmm. The fact that they've got better players there in their mind, I think is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I would agree with you. All right, friends. Well, this will do it for Mike and Ray, as I talk about myself. And we look forward to coming to you more regularly as the season progresses. Had a great time chopping it up with you. We each found two wins for them. It was Eastern Washington for both me and Mike. And I had the Aggies of Utah State. Mike had the Lobos of New Mexico. Who knows, in this league, anything can happen. And if you look at San Jose State, it did happen.
Magical season could be right around the corner for UNLV.
All right. Well, for Mike, I'm Ray, and thank you for listening, friends. We will talk to you soon.